Everything you do disciples your child. You either disciple your child away from the Lord or towards the Lord. You either disciple your child by the way you live to show your child your faith is phony, or you disciple your child that you are doing this even though you make mistakes, that Jesus really works and you really believe it. We need to get that as parents, then we need to live that as parents.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. We've been talking this whole week about discipling our child, giving them a good example, and living it out with them, sharing with them every day and every night what's going on and how to be more like Christ, to form that Christ-like character that they have, that they should have. And I want to mention really quick that if you do want to listen to this program all over again, we post it up on our website, so you can check it out there and share it with someone at parentingtoday.org. But it really is the daily stuff that gives you...
Oh, it's the real family stuff.
Yeah.
That's where it's the family conflict, it's the family problems, it's the way we handle those. Are we the same as anybody else on the street in the way we handle the reality that we are all normal people and our children are going to act like children and they're going to battle each other and do all the things they do? It's how we handle it. Would the Smiths down the street who have no faith at all handle it the same way we do? Does this work? Is this a reality? Do we believe that I am a new person in Christ Jesus, which means I'm going to live my life differently? And it is a process, but it's a process I need to be training into my children. They need to see what we heard Sunday, what we're reading around the breakfast table impacts the way I lead. I am discipling you. Does this work?
And you get into some pickles sometimes too.
Where, oh, yeah.
I was in a situation just recently with the kid, and the Lord has blessed me with four absolutely wonderful stepkids who all four have strong characters.
So awesome.
It is awesome.
Exhausting and awesome.
Yes, exactly. So child A mentioned something which I didn't think was a very big deal. I didn't hear it. But I did catch child B getting back at child A. So I sit them both down. Child B, you have to apologize to child A. This is what you did. So the child B says, I'm sorry, but you have to say I'm sorry too because you hurt me first. And I didn't see it as the parent, but it is probably worthy of apologizing, even though it's not, it wasn't a super insulting, not a bad word or anything. It just wasn't kind. So child A, can you please apologize to child B? No. Wasn't a big deal. I don't know why child B is bringing this up. It was a half hour ago and it doesn't have to be brought up again. I don't understand why. No, I don't feel like apologizing.
Wow.
What to do?
Awesome. Well, this is where the world stops, because it's less, how hard is it to apologize? It's a pride issue now.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're both going to sit down, both of you, until you can both come down, until child A, you can say you're sorry and mean it. Child B, you're willing to say you're sorry and mean it. And here's how we're going to do this. If you get out of those seats, you're going to bed early. So you choose if you're going to stay up or not. Now, you could solve this in 5 minutes or 5 hours, your choice. We're going to bed when we're going to bed, and we can come right back here after school tomorrow. And I've watched kids at Sheridan House, some of them hold out for a long time. But eventually, we're going to hit a point, I'll decide when that point is, where you're going to write letters of apology to each other. So you decide, and if your pride is going to have you sit in that seat that long. But let me say this to you. When you apologize to each other, if you turn around and get out of my sight and do it again, you're both back here. There is a bigger lesson than, I think, deciding who was wrong and who was right. The bigger lesson is this relationship, this pride, and this anger. And they need to both sit down in separate rooms, I think, until they can decide, I can come, I can apologize.
Because I also am trying to teach them, don't be so bothered about everything, too. I mean, they're on heightened defense, every single little word.
It's a disrespect. Remember, we talked about that 2 weeks ago. And, you know, they're basically saying, he disrespected me. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
Does it really matter? No, honey, you disrespected me when I changed your diapers. That was disgusting. But I did it because I love you. So let's get past this respect that you think you deserve. We deserve nothing, but Christ gave it all to us. So that it's a pride issue, and it's an issue of them seeing me stay calm. See, this is a great opportunity for a parent to stay calm. There's also a great opportunity.
It's hard.
It is hard, but I will stay calm if I have a plan. If I don't have a plan, that's when I get frustrated. And if I think we've got to get somewhere and that's more important than the kids knowing, they trap me, that's when it it gets very, very confusing. We're stopping life. And let me say, you get out of those chairs and you're going to bed early, whichever one of you. But we're staying here and we're pursuing this because there's more pride here and game playing than anything else. So I would want them to do that. When they come together and do that, I'm going to get them each on either side of me and give them a hug and thank you. You guys are awesome. Thank you for doing this. I just want you to think next time. But there are times when I say something that I need to, okay, let's stop. I cannot believe that I got that out of control or that mad or that whatever. I don't even know what it would be where I as an adult need to say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Will you forgive me? We're trying to teach them the walk and the Matthew 18 and that dealing with that conflict right there. But we're trying to teach them that this manual of love is patient and kind and you were not patient and kind and love keeps no record of wrongs. You guys keep ledgers of wrongs. A half hour ledger right there. And so, that's called forgiveness. We're trying to teach them how to do this walk, and we're trying to teach us all how to live in this house together. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
It is.
No one prepared us, no one, for how hard this walk is. No one prepared us. And no one prepared us for how much our children look, and no one prepared us for the fact that you're going to hear your own words back. And unfortunately, it's not the good ones that you hear back.
Yeah.
And no one prepared us that our children are learning to negotiate their children. They're going to do these things. We just have to have a plan for dealing with those behaviors. And then we have to choose to be the people we need to be for them to see how it's done properly.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm just learning here, so I'm asking questions. But so you say allow them, at least in the situation that I posed, mm-hmm. allow them to genuinely want to say I'm sorry. Because I can get an I'm sorry out of their mouth.
But I'm sorry.
Right.
The words mean nothing.
Right.
I want to hear you say I'm sorry in a way that you mean it. So no sarcasm. I'm sorry. No sarcasm. And if we're not going to get there where you guys can get to this point, we're going to write. We're going to each write a paragraph, 50-word paragraph of apology, and I will read them. But guys, this is real easy now. You've hurt each other's feelings. Let's just face it. You've hurt each other's feelings. Mm-hmm. And when one hurt the other one, whether you understand whether you hurt the other one's feelings or not, you did. And the other one came back. You know, this is marriage. And in the end of the day,
it's totally marriage.
Oh, yeah. When I say to Rosemary, but I didn't mean it like that, but I heard it like that, but I didn't mean it like that. You know, it's first year of marriage where she comes out and says, how do I look? And I say, you look nice. And nice wasn't a big enough word. And she goes back in the bedroom in tears. I'm thinking, wow, we're bilingual now. It's the same words, but they don't mean the same thing. Nice is huge to me. If I go out of the house looking nice, I'm there. I'm ready for the day. She needed to go out of the house with more than a word nice for me as we went out to dinner. And wow. And so we're learning all these things. It's not a matter of you didn't mean it. It's a matter of think of how they received it, period. And that hurt that child's feelings. And so whether you can't question feelings. You can question your words. You can't question your feelings. That hurt that child's feelings. You know, I didn't. And so if you're looking for the words, child letter A, if you're looking for the words to say, I'm thinking the words would be, you know, I didn't mean it to hurt your feelings like that. I am sorry that I hurt your feelings. If you don't want to say, I'm sorry I said what I said because you don't believe what you said was bad, then say, I didn't mean to say words that would hurt your feelings. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. Because you can't argue with that. You hurt that child's feelings. Right. This is helping our children. And child, let me give you the motivation behind this, because Jesus wants you to do this.
Right.
Because Jesus wants you to do this. What's happened now is this has gotten bigger and you're angry. Be angry and sin not. Mm-hmm. And so back it up here and decide to restore this relationship.
And we're always talking about sort of a modifying behavior, if you will. Yeah. But also we want to get to the heart of the child too. What's going to be triggering the behavior in the future too. So we can be disciplining and talking and apologizing and all that. But how do you really get to then the actual heart? How do you get the child to actually genuinely want to say, I'm sorry, for example?
I think a lot of things have to happen here. I think one of the issues is we're seeing some signal behavior. Someone was very frustrated or feelings hurt, or mm-hmm. a younger one just want to hang with the older one and the older one got rid of them and mm-hmm. feelings got hurt, whatever it is. But I want to take advantage of the behavior to teach an outward lesson, only to find it a moment later on when everybody's not so mad or that child letter A is not mad, and just talk through a little bit of what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, that feelings got hurt here today, and the feelings got hurt and they got bigger and bigger and bigger and madder and madder and madder because we didn't stop immediately. We're never going to be perfect. But here's an interesting thing. Let me show you this verse. Every word you ever say is recorded. It's recorded in heaven. I don't know if it's played back. I don't know how that works. but Jesus knows everything I say, and I want him to be proud of the self-control over my mouth that I have. And so I have to choose to be slow to speak and quick to listen and slow to get angry. And so I want to commend you for finally coming in the room, and I felt it was sincere. I don't know your heart, but I felt it was sincere. And then when your younger sibling did not respond well to your apology, you were still awesome. You were awesome. And I want to thank you for that. That was manning up right there. And so that was great. And the goal here is to decide that Christ wants me to live in a way that would encourage people. There's, honey, I got a verse for you. And I wrote it down and you can hold it. It says in Ephesians, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. And so I don't want any unwholesome. And I don't think that means just dirty words. I think that means encouraging words. And so end of the day, I was proud that you finally came in the room. See, I have to deal with behavior to get to the heart. Mm-hmm. I have to deal with the lips and get to the heart. And so first we get past, I think, the dilemma. They don't care about the heart right now. They care how long am I sitting in this chair.
Exactly.
And I have to then get past that. And then at some point, find a way in there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times for me, it's sitting on the side of a bed at night or sitting on the
Even when they're grumpy and they don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, but I act like I'm in a good mood, yeah. Right. And even when I have to work very hard
so
to
hard.
Find, well, I want to send them to bed if I can, finding something I was proud of. Even if I've had to put them to bed early.
Right.
And I think I need to find that moment. And it's the most difficult, child, that you don't want to go in that bedroom. That's mm-hmm. the last bedroom on planet Earth you want to go in. Can we just seal it with mortar? But we've got to choose that this is a teachable moment, even though this child is mad. And I've got to find, hey, you finally, and I would even try to remove the word finally. You came in and you said you were sorry. I want to thank you for doing that tonight. Well, we don't even need to go through it again. You did the right thing. You finished well. We're called to finish well. And then all of a sudden next week, they repeat the same thing and you wonder, they forgot it. They didn't get it. They're kids.
And rinse and repeat.
That's right. That's right. And what happens all of a sudden, and this has been an interesting journey for me because my daughter is, I think my daughter is one of the top people working with teenagers, especially teenage girls I've ever seen. And I listened to my daughter say some things to teenage 12 and 13 year olds. And those were the things she hated mm-hmm. when I said them. And I'd use the word appropriate. Why can't I wear this? Because
yes.
it's not appropriate. And she actually said to her mother, I hate the word appropriate. And I'm watching her now at 30 plus, she's your age, mm-hmm. and I'm watching her use the same words. And I realized, you know what? She got it. She got it. I'm still waiting for her to come and say thank you for all that wisdom I imparted on her. But
I'll never say thank you to you.
Yes, yes, but I'll never get it. And even that was sarcastic. That was pathetic, Ruthie.
My motivation.
Yes, your motivation was pathetic. But I think what we have to do is find that teachable moment. And unfortunately, that's sometimes under stress. Mm-hmm. And do the right behavioral things and then wait later on and get in there. Get to that heart later on. Mm-hmm. And it's a high privilege, but it's a high responsibility. The farmer was with them 24/7 on that farm. And the general store guy had them after school. We don't get them much.
Yeah.
And when we don't get them much and it's pandemonium because everybody's working and everybody comes back home and everybody's exhausted and there are the kids. And you have to think to yourself, couldn't this just be easier and nicer? But the kids get the tension. And when the kids sense the tension and the older one's picking on the younger one and all this has happened and everybody gets their feelings hurt and I can't believe that just happened. That's when we got to realize, okay, we need a general household exhale. And we need to slow the pace down and, okay, sit down, you two. I need to talk to you. And I need to stay calm. And one of them says, I need nobody talking here for a minute. We just need nobody talking. Even me, I'm not going to talk for a minute. And let me say, if you do talk, blank happens. So let's not talk for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have a general exhale, then, okay, I'm going to talk now. Mm-hmm. And I think you use your exhale time. What am I going to say?
Right.
Yes. And you think through
it. To come up with
something.
Here's
what's happened. I'm going to let you one at a time apologize to each other. If you don't, you know what happened last time. You're going to your chairs. Think and be wise now.
Hmm.
Which one of you wants to go first?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm going to help you here. They're going to their chairs.
Yep.
Because they
it's going to be a while.
It. They haven't got it, but they will get it. And then by high school, my kids were awesome because they got it. Everything we do, we're discipling how to walk this life for Christ.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. You can get a lot more parenting resources and find out what Sheridan House Family Ministries does all online at shfm.org. You can even support the ministry if you've been blessed by this program or some other aspect of parenting today. That's again online at shfm.org. If you want to hear this program again, share it with your spouse, share it with some friends, and sign up to get it automatically along with the daily corresponding blog, you can get that at parentingtoday.org. That's again online at parentingtoday.org.